Kentuckery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your way. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Meet Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening, one and all, and welcome to Maine's longest-running, most durable outdoor radio program in the state of Maine. We've been at it now for 20 years plus, and we're going to do it for another 20, Lord willing. And we're glad to have you with us tonight here on the show. As you know, we're an interactive radio program. That's a big word for call-in. That means you can call us if you'd like to comment, and if you have a question or a comment to make to our guest tonight. What is that number, Mr. Lehman?
1-800-966-1039, and they better use the whole number, even if you're local.
And that's toll-free statewide.
Yes, it is. 1-800-966-1039.
All right. And for those of you who may be wondering, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, which is 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1 FM down in Rockland. I'll introduce our studio guests who are very pleased to have with us tonight, but first the crew that make this show possible week after week, most dependable, reliable people you'd ever find anywhere. The man behind the controls tonight, the man with his hands on the toggle switches, he is the sage of Grand Lake Stream, my friend Norm Plord. You're supposed to take a bow. Say something.
I'm supposed to take a bow?
Yeah.
Got to push the right buttons to do that.
There you go.
Yeah, great weather, you know. Great weather for cleaning out my cellar.
Oh, yeah, great weather.
Great weather for ducks.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. And all the other quacks.
Right. And to Norm.
And fish.
Yeah, and to Norm's right, the Baron, the Raspberry Baron, a former chopper pilot and an all-around good guy. He's the Kenny Rogers lookalike, Mr. Scotty Bates.
Yes, good evening, Paul, and good evening, everybody out there. And you're right, it's been wet. My friend Donald up in Oakfield sent me a picture, and off his back deck, he could fish. The water's right up to the deck.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You get some real, real heavy storms
up
there.
You bet. And last but certainly not least, my co-host, my reliable, always here co-host, most of the time, unless he's playing hooky down a Grand Lake Stream, which was the case last week, he is a registered Master Maine guide. He cooks a pretty good turkey soup as well.
Well, thank you.
And he's written some great books on fishing. My friend Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it, Paul. We'll have a story for you on fishing shortly.
I'm sure you will. We look forward to that. And now our guest tonight, and we're honored to have him here. He's been here before, and he's the superintendent of the Allegash Waterway System, and he's also a columnist, I'm proud to say, for the Northwood Sporting Journal, Mr. Matt LaRoche.
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you, Matt. A real pleasure to have you on board. And if you've ever had a question about the Allegash Waterway, this is your chance to ask the man. So we welcome your calls. Again, what's the number, Robert?
1-800-966-1039.
All right. Outdoor Digest time now, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Want to remind you that if you are a summer visitor to Maine, you might want to pick up a copy of the Northwood Journal, which is available at your nearest newsstand. We have a special story on where to sight moose during the summer, anywhere you could pick in the state of Maine. We consulted with all of the respective biologists, and we have all of the hot spots listed. Now, you moose hunters, you can't look at this particular copy, but if you're a summer visitor looking for a viewing hotspot, pick up a copy of the journal today. And if you'd like to get a subscription and save yourself a few dollars, you can call Alicia at 732-4880 during the week. Let's see, a couple of things before we get to Bob's fishing report. You remember, if you've been with us earlier in the year, I talked about a wonderful new CD out about the Maine outdoors. A lot of great songs written by Stan Keach, and he leads a group called the Sandy River Ramblers. I think I got that right. And it just so happens that my granddaughter is also a featured vocalist in that group, and we're going to play just a little snippet of it. And if you want to hear the whole song, you're going to have to pick up the CD. This is by the Sandy River Ramblers. It's called Bear in the Barn.
kitchen and cried. There's a big black bear in the barn. There's a big black bear in the barn. I can hear him huffing in there. Gonna get the gun and he better beware that big black boar of a bear.
That's my granddaughter singing the vocal.
That's
there.
Laura.
No.
No, that is no, Laura. I thought that was Laura. No, that's...
That's Dana.
That's Josh's little
Dana
girl.
Dana Reynolds, my granddaughter. Dana, one of the vocalists with the Sandy River Ramblers. If you want to hear the rest of the song...
Somebody can pick that old banjo, can't they?
They can,
well, I should say.
Yeah. Anyway, pick up a CD if you're interested in hearing some really great songs. Stan Keach, who writes the songs, is a real poet. He's not only a talented musician, he writes some great lyrics. Okay, before we get to Bob's fishing report, I just want to make an observation that the Green Drake Hatch, the always celebrated Green Drake Hatch, I guess is on the verge, and I can report, Bob, that Diane did find a Green Drake on her car down at Branch Lake yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe up north, I don't know, Matt, is it still buggy up there?
It's still pretty buggy.
Yeah.
What's your guess on the Green Drakes?
Well, Wiggy Robinson always said after the 4th of July, so I'm not going to contradict what Wiggy had to say.
No, you can't do that.
No.
Wiggy knew.
Wiggy knew.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, here to talk more about the Green Drake before he gets his music, though. Do we have Bob's music?
We sure do.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.
I should have done that.
Next right. on 101.
Well, we'll dispense.
We'll go right to Bob's music.
Let's go
right.
I don't think we need it. Oh.
There we are. Anyway, we get that for a while.
I'm the big boss fast.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobby, what's going on in the fishing world?
Paul, there's no shortage of water for fish to swim in, that's for sure, after all of this rain.
Yep.
And I've been trying to get my garden in, and you know, I finally put a tap over it yesterday so it'll dry out. You know, I couldn't stand any more water.
I know.
It's just a mud bath now.
Yeah,
but anyway,
it is,
if I'd have stayed home and planted my garden instead of going fishing last week, I probably would have got it in. But I had two grandsons coming, and they wanted to get down to Grand Lake Stream, so we hit high water again, because the high water's been... right in the way of everybody down there this year. Really, I know when you and I were down there, it was, 700-something feet per second through the dam, and right now it's 550. And when we were there, it was 550. But they dropped it for a half a day for us, and believe it or not, we caught some fish on that,
good.
And dry flies and salmon and a few brookies, and I found out the bass are coming in like gangbusters, massive size bass, 2-3 pounders and 4 pounders.
Wow.
At Big Falls, first of the week. Unbelievable. And somebody said the bass were off the beds already, but they're not. They're just coming in down there, and they spawn right in the river. Plus, they come in for food, too, but they also spawn. And the stripers are tip-top right now. They're really taking on some of our main rivers. They call them schoolies right now. For the most part, they're 16, 17, 18 inches long. But they're hitting real well, even on plugs. Somebody told me this morning.
Yeah, good.
They were trolling a plug. I always used streamer flies. The black marabou streamer fly with an orange body always worked great for me. And what else we got here? Fishway is open now until they set a record with the Atlantic salmon up in Milford at the Fishway.
That's good.
That was it? 200 and some odd fish in one day?
170.
Salmon?
170, I think.
Was it?
I read. Yep.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was 200 and something, but I could be wrong.
Well, that's good. That's still better.
But anyway, that's still in one day. That's a fantastic run. So it's somewhere around 400-500 or more right now. I'm sure. I haven't talked to the gentleman who checks it every day, but it's got to be right there, maybe even more.
Good. The bass are hitting at Branch Lake, by the way.
Somebody told me this morning they were off the beds.
Well, we were out. I was out with Scotty last night casting into the rocks with a little rubber minnow.
And
thing.
You caught some.
Oh, they're like crazy.
Yeah.
Smashing
were they on the beds or were they just in
I
the rocks?
I don't
rock?
Know.
They
I
may have been just in the rocks.
Anywhere in those big boulders and little... Yeah. Little retrieve,
and I heard you had to feed a bass tonight.
Yeah, well, we ate some with our moose burgers.
That was quite a meal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. Beans and moose burgers.
Talk about variety.
Yeah, and trout. I mean, a bass. Yeah, it was good.
Surprisingly, with all this water we've had, that The temperature of the water is at Grand Lake Stream, for instance, was 63 to 65, which is way too warm for salmon and trout. But, of course, there are still a few around, and, of course, the fish way at the gate is open, has been open since the middle of June, so a lot of the salmon have gone. But water as warm as that, they don't hang around. They're out of there. So we fished the dam pool. All we caught was little short salmon. But downriver, there's still a few salmon around and some trout, and you can see them when they drop the water. And they're taking dries pretty good. So, good. Matt, and that's my Matt, report.
Okay, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Matt, have you had a chance to fish yet?
Oh, yes, I fish every chance I get, as a matter of fact. And the fishing has
been pretty good?
Pretty good on the Allegash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certain places you got to go, and I'm not going to divulge all those places, but there's plenty of trout to
come.
Be gone.
I don't. We always ask where you go fish, but the people never tell us. Never
well, they might about give you maybe the general area.
Yeah. Maybe you can tell us your favorite fly up there.
Yeah, my favorite, I've caught more fish on probably the Homburg fly than any
that's
other
good,
fly. But the
fly.
Caddis is working really good right now. The caddis fly, working good.
Yeah, that Hornberg's a great fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Again, our guest tonight is Matt LaRoche. He is the superintendent of the Allegash Waterway. We'll be talking to him right after we dispose of a trivia question. We always like to do this because we always like to give things away to you nice people who listen to our show every week. We're going to give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth $29.95 if you can answer Bob's question.
And the question tonight is, what is the most hunted game animal in the United States?
The most hunted game animal in the United States. You ponder that and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. Little engineering issue there, but nothing to be concerned about. Norm is still employed and will be.
Terrible to be human.
You're right. We can't stand anybody being human. Okay, we're back, and our guest again is Matt LaRoche, the superintendent of the Allegash Waterway. And if you have an answer to our trivia question, you can call in at 1-800-966-1039. I guess we didn't get any calls on the trivia questions, Matt?
We've got two. No, we've got two.
Oh, we do?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's take care of this right now. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you tonight?
Pretty good.
You think the answer is?
Well, I'm going to take a stab at it. It's got to be white-tailed deer.
White-tailed deer. Is that the right answer, Bob?
I'm afraid not. Nice. Thank you for calling, though.
Thank you.
Nice guess, but not the right answer. Okay. Let's... No cigar there. Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors, and we're looking for an answer to a trivia question. Are you there, caller?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Well, I was going to say, white-tailed deer, but I guess that was wrong. So let's go with mule deer.
Mule deer. No, I'm sorry, that's not the right answer. But we appreciate your call. Thanks for playing the game. Yep.
No problem.
Okay, take care. It's not a mule deer. It's not a white-tailed deer. And do we have another caller? Is that
Yes,
it?
We do.
All right, let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors, and Bob's looking for an answer to his trivia question. What is the most hunted game animal in the United States?
Squirrel.
A squirrel. Well, we're getting closer. Dagnabbit, we're getting closer. And we haven't got all night here, folks at home. We've got a guest waiting in the studio to be interviewed. So let's move this thing along. It's not a squirrel, but you are getting closer. You're warm. Let's take another call.
Somebody else on the line.
Good evening, caller. I think you're on Maine Outdoors. We're looking for an answer to the trivia question so that we can give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. And it features such great writers as Matt LaRoche, Bob Lehman, V. Paul Reynolds, and many others.
Yes.
Right?
You bet.
Yeah. Do we have a caller? Boy, you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Do we have a caller? Go
ahead. I'm going to go. Well, you're saying game animal, but are you talking doves?
Talking. I'm not talking about birds. I'm talking about
talking about animals. Okay, that was the question I had to you, screener. Okay.
A game animal.
All right, that was the question.
What's the question?
I'll let you in.
What do you think the answer is?
What do you do, hang up?
Do you hang up?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I didn't hang up. I just, when you say game animal, I guess the next one would be cottontail.
Cottontail.
Well, what are you going to do with that one, Paul?
I think we have a big winner.
We have a winner. You were a little slow getting started, but you got the right answer. Good for you.
Well, a lot of times when people say animals, they confuse the situation.
Yeah. No, the answer is rabbit. But it could be a cottontail, or it could be a varying hair. I guess anything that looks and walks and smells like a rabbit is a rabbit. All right. Okay. Well, good for you. You have the right answer. And not only that, this is your big day. You won a subscription to the Northwood Journal, my favorite outdoor publication. And
mine too.
Okay. And if you'll stay on the line, Norm or Scotty will get your address, and we'll get you signed up tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else on your mind before we turn you over to the boys in the studio?
Just keep pushing that spring bear hunt. We got too many of them over here in Concord.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's... I'm surprised...
You got to push all turkey hunting. It should be with grouse. Like I asked the boys last week, how many grouse do you see in the way in? How many turkeys do you see?
Yeah, I'm surprised that spring bear hunt didn't fly in the legislature, but the main Professional Guides Association opposed it. That's what killed it. Surprised
me. The turkey hunting, we should have be able to shoot one a day and bag one and possession limit of one a day. Yeah. That would keep everybody from absolutely shooting one a day.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna they've upped it for this year. I understand. Yep. Okay. Well, stay in the
Carthage. Carthage. That's up by Rumford, right?
Concord Township.
Oh, okay.
Bingham.
Yep.
Oh, Bingham. Okay. Sure. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Take this boy and get his address, would you? Thank you, sir. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
All right. Down to business here. Matt, nice to have you here. Yeah, appreciate you driving all the way down here from the Allagash Waterway.
Well, I didn't drive all the way today from the waterway, but yes, I'm glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate having you come here. Before we get down talking about some of the issues on the waterway, I think it's always a good idea. Could you just tell us a little bit about what your job consists of and your background and maybe a little history on the waterway?
Sure. Well, the waterway is a 92-mile long river and lake area there. And our primary visitors, if you will, are canoeists and fishermen.
Yep.
And we have like 82 remote campsites and six ranger stations. And we have three dams that we maintain, and one of them being Lock Dam, which we're going to talk about a little later in the program. And but rangers are there. I mean, the waterway's got some special regulations to enhance, like, the wilderness character of the waterway. So rangers are there to enforce those regulations and also to help all the people that come out and give them information. And part of the reason I'm here is to get the word out about the waterway. It's a great place. People love it when they go, and they seem to – everybody I've ever met at these shows and stuff, we do a show, the Cabin Fever Reliever show, they always say, you know, I want to go to the waterway, or I've been there and I want to go back. Nobody ever says, I don't ever want to go back there. That's not a very nice place. They all say they want to come back.
Sure.
So I think people got to make the effort to get up there, and it's like when they get there and they're going to want to come back again and again and again to either to fish or canoe or whatever, or just view wildlife.
And the waterway is a part of the Bureau of Public Lands, right?
Yes, we're in the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, and we're in the Bureau of Parks and Lands division within that. And so that's how it falls, is Allagash, the Bureau, and the department level.
So who's your boss?
My boss is actually Ron Hunt. He's in Augusta. He's the Director of Operations and Maintenance for the Bureau.
For the Bureau, okay.
And we do have some new appointees in the Bureau. We have the new Amanda Beal is a new commissioner who I've met, and I'm very impressed with her.
Yeah.
And we've got a new Bureau director. And I haven't really met. I've just met him briefly. Actually, I met him when we had an incident up there, and the governor recognized those scouts that pulled the person from the lake there. Yeah. And I just met him just briefly at that ceremony. Yeah.
What's your background? How'd you wind up being superintendent?
Well, that's a long story. I've been at it a long time.
You have.
And in fact, that when I got out of college in 1976, I went right to work in the waterway, worked there for 10 years, and then went to work on the West Branch of the Penobscot for 20 some years, and then it kind of worked out pretty well when my kids grew up, and so I had a chance to go back as a superintendent, and I was lucky enough to get the job, and now it's been great for my last 10 years that I've been there.
Your whole career, you've been on the brink of the wilderness.
I have been. It's been great. It's been fun.
Who could ask for a better deal than that?
It's been a good fit for me. It's not for everybody, but it's been a good fit for me.
Yeah. And we want to say hi to Ruth, your wife.
Hey, Ruth.
Who puts up with you, right?
She does. She tries to make me look good.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a big job.
Yeah, and she's listening tonight, and we wish her the best, and we're glad she's on board with us tonight. The waterway is a fascinating place, and as you say, it has a long, storied history. And one of the things we're going to cover before we get to some of these other things is folks that are listening may have dreamed about wanting to make the waterway trip, but they haven't really rolled up the sleeves and decided to do it. what would you say to somebody, how much of a talented canoeist do you have to be to do the waterway, and when's the best time to do it?
Well, our busiest month is July. That's probably the best month to do the waterway. But in certain years, the last couple of years, we haven't had much water come September. But July, August, and September. And September would be my favorite month if we have adequate water, yeah. Which it looks like this year we are going to have a pretty good water year. So that would be – you know, if people want to do the waterway, you know, we got a video series out there on our website, which is at maine.gov/Allegash.
Maine.gov/Allegash.
That's a shortcut.
Okay.
And it'll bring you right to the website. There's a video series there. There's a Google Earth program. Then go look at every campsite. But you should know how to canoe. That should not be your first canoe trip to come to the waterway. So you need to go practice a little bit somewhere and learn the basics of canoeing before you try to do a trip. But, you know, you could come up and stay at one campsite for a while and just enjoy the area and, you know, not go on a 92-mile canoe trip, but you know, just go up and stay at a campsite for a few days.
Speaking as somebody who's had some bad experiences in white water, can you do the Allegash without hitting a lot of Class 2 or Class 3 white water?
Well, actually, at the worst white water, or the best, whatever, however you want to look at it, is this kind of upper end Class 2 whitewater at below Churchill Dam, and that goes for about 2 miles, and then it gets a little bit better. And as you go down through to Umzascus Lake, there's a 9 miles from Churchill to Umzascus, and that is the worst stretch of whitewater. And we offer a portage service around that. So most people that come down put their gear in the ranger's truck, he trucks it down 5 miles, and they run with empty canoes. So what's the worst that could happen? I mean, you could wrap your canoe around a rock, and you could, but most people, you're not going to get all your stuff wet. And so that we offer that, and if somebody does not want to run it at all, we'll take the canoes and the people around and everything.
That's Chase Rapids?
That's Chase Rapids. Yep.
So if cowards like Norman, myself, wanted to do this trip, we could actually do it and never hit any white water.
Never touch the water.
Well, you're going to have a little bit of...
Well, I don't mind a little bit.
You know, Round Pond Rips and there's other places, and there's actually Twin Brook Rapids at the very end that you've got to negotiate too, but it's pretty short. It's only like half a mile and you're through it.
Okay,
so,
and how much time should Norm and I allot for a trip like that?
Well, our busiest actually put-in point is at Churchill Dam, which is the halfway point. So most people skip the big head – well, I won't say most people, but a lot of people skip the headwater lakes and just put in at Churchill and go down.
Yeah.
And they got a couple small lakes to paddle across and all river. But to do the whole trip, a week, to do from Churchill, probably 5 days.
So for somebody who wants to experience the Allegash, doesn't want to hit too many rapids – wants to have a fairly relaxed time, you could start out at the north end of Churchill?
Yes, you could do that. Or Umzascus, which is the next put-in down, which is another about 12 miles down the river. That might be even better if you don't want to do – if you want to see even less, you know, quick water.
I like that, Norm. Let's do –
Sounds great.
From Umzascus
Stay dry.
Yeah. So how long would it take us a leisurely trip from Umzascus down to Allegash?
More Maine Outdoors next.
Okay, we're back, and we apologize, I guess, for the abruptness of the commercial break, but we had musicians in here that are supposed to play the intro music, and they haven't been feeling well, and they were outside talking to somebody. So anyway.
They didn't give us a heads up.
No, they didn't give us a heads up, but we're back on track. We'll make sure they get fired, and we'll get going from there. Okay, we were talking to you, Matt, just before the abrupt break. Norm and I are planning a trip down the upper Allegash, I guess you'd call it, and we're going to leave from Umzascus Lake, and it's 30-some miles, you said, to the takeout.
Yes, it is. And actually, that's the first canoe trip I ever took on the waterway was from Umzascus.
Oh, was it?
You know, and then the next one was from Churchill, and then the whole trip. But,
so in reasonable physical shape, somebody that knows a little bit about the outdoors could probably handle it.
Don't hurry. You know, enjoy the waterway, go down through there,
good campgrounds all the way,
nice campsites all the way, all well taken care of,
and no reservations, right?
No reservations are required. You just come in when you go through the checkpoint system in North Maine Woods. They'll register you for us, and we have plenty of campsites to accommodate the level of use we got right now.
Do you really?
Yes, we do.
So almost any time you can be sure to find a campsite somewhere.
Yeah,
are fires allowed on these campsites?
Oh, yeah, they're all authorized. You don't need any permits or anything. They're all authorized for use. Every campsite's got a picnic table, a fireplace, with a in the outhouse, and there's a pole over the picnic table there to throw a tarp up over. So they're all
lean tos, Matt.
No lean tos.
So they bring a tent.
Right. Everybody's going to bring a tent. Yes.
Yeah. And if somebody wanted to make that trip, they have to fill out some kind of an application? How does that work?
No, just when you come through the checkpoint system there in North Main Woods, they'll make you out a registration for us.
Oh, they do?
And then when you get to the ranger station, you'll have to go check in. You'll have to go write your name down or check in with the ranger, and then he'll write your name down in case we got to go look for you. Paul never shows up at the other end, we're actually going to come look for you.
Would you really?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. There are some people who wouldn't look for me.
I would look for you myself.
Well, that's great. Appreciate that. See, Norm?
Hey, we're in good shape.
I'm excited. We'll have to plan it next year. Okay, one of the things we wanted to cover. Oh, before we do, Bob, if somebody wants to ask Matt LaRoche a question about the Allegash Waterway, how would they do that?
Matt LaRoche? Would they do that?
Yeah, he's our guest here.
1-800-966-1039. And you can ask all kinds of questions about Matt. I got a whole list of them here that I'd like to ask him.
Well, go ahead. You go ahead and ask him your question. Then I want to talk about Loch Dam. Well,
the big thing is is it regular fishing regulations or special regulations on trout and salmon and so forth in that region?
It's pretty much all special. You better get a law book and you better study it it's different on Chamberlain Lake and it is on Eagle Lake and Churchill Lake, and then the river is different.
Okay, the lakes are one thing, but how about the river itself, the main stream?
Well, the Chase Rapids is two trout. You know, artificial lures only, and
artificial lures only,
12-inch limit. But when you get down below Long Lake Dam, it goes to 5 at general law limit. So,
and the other thing I wanted to ask you, can fish off the dams?
Not off all of them. Only
they want to be aware of which ones they can or can't.
Right, so it's got a fishway in it, so obviously it's got to be 150 feet away.
If they got a fishway, well, what if they? You know, that's how would they know whether they didn't have a fishway or not?
Well, we got it posted.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, we do.
You got markers, red markers, right. Above and below, and all that kind of thing.
There's markers, and it's in the law book. And
the wardens pretty much take care of that too.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. Must be several wardens that must run in that area.
Well, there's a few. Yeah, there's one at Clayton Lake and one at Coffee Loss, and there's some that come in from Ashland Way. And
how many roughly do you get people running that river in a year?
Well, we'll have about, like, we call it 32,000 visitor days. It sounds like a lot, but, you know,
32,000?
That's visitor days. So there's really only about a little over 4,000 actual visitors. That's from summer. That's in the summer. In the wintertime, we don't keep track of them quite so much. So it's 4,000 visitors, but a lot of them will stay for a week. So the visitor days add up, if you will.
Yeah. Well, how many run the river, actually?
Well,
roughly,
there's probably most of those are running the river.
So 4,000 people run the river.
Yeah, well,
on an average year,
you're putting me kind of like I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm going to say probably about 3,000 maybe run the river, and 1,000 just up there to go fishing.
Well, it must be fairly crowded then.
Well, it's not when you spread them out over 100 miles.
Yeah, well, yes, true, but there's only like 92, places you can pull in and build a fire and spend the evening.
So it's really not crowded.
No. Yeah. We have a caller standing by. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Matt LaRoche.
Hey, guys. I've done the Upper West Branch like a dozen times or so, but never been on the Allegash. Just wondering how you compare doing the whole Allegash to the Upper West Branch.
Well, a lot of the Allegash is like the West Branch. It's fairly easy. The West Branch doesn't have really much of rapids to negotiate, but the campsites are set up the same. It's just going to be a longer. Yeah. It's just going to be a longer trip. So I think the trick is to plan your meals out well. You don't want to bring too much, but you want to bring plenty, and you want to have all the right stuff. So, but your canoe, obviously, you got a good size canoe, a 17 or 18 foot canoe that you can use.
Yeah, definitely. I just wondered technically, as far as because you guys already talked about the rapids a little bit. You know, am I going to deal with more on the Allegash than I did on the West Branch?
Yes, you're going to have a little bit more white water, but, you know, if you're not really comfortable with white water, the worst section is below Churchill Dam. It's called Chase Rapids.
Right.
And we do offer a portage service for gear or people.
Right.
So if you don't want to go down that stretch, I wouldn't. But, you know, it's one of the high points of the trip, really, to run Chase.
Is it a rocky white water or is it just a wavy white water?
You're going to have your hands full if you're not really comfortable with white water.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty nice. And if you don't have your gear with you, what's the worst that could happen?
Or what you can do is just follow Norm and I down to Umzaskus, and whatever we wherever we go, you'll know you'll be safe.
You'll know you'll be safe.
All right, appreciate you listening.
And right, good luck, thanks for calling.
Good luck on the Allagash. Another caller stacked up here. That's good. We like to see those phones ring from you folks at home. Again, 1-800-966-1039 is the number if you'd like to talk to Matt LaRoche, superintendent of the Allagash Waterway. And engineer Norm right now is taking the call, queuing it up with his little toggle switch right there. I think
a lot of people run their kayaks down through there, don't they?
Well, we get mostly canoes because they can carry gear. Kayaks are pretty limited.
And you look silly in a kayak going down the Allagash. Quite, wouldn't you?
Well, we do have some, but they usually travel with canoes, so the canoes get to carry all the gear. The kayakers just kind of go along with them.
You do have a call.
If you had a choice between a canoe and a kayak, which would you take?
Well, I'm kind of an old school canoe person.
Me too. Right. Norm, you caller? Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Matt LaRoche from the Allagash Waterway. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead. Hello?
Hello. I'm the Matt Walsh's grandson. I was asking if he could take us there while he's there.
That's my grandson. That's Cotter Beers. Is that you, Cotter?
Yes.
Hey, I haven't seen you for a long time.
You want your grandfather to take you somewhere?
He wants to take it. Wants me to take him to the Allagash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should
take him.
Cinch this up right now.
And, yes, I'll take you to the Allagash, Cotter.
Nothing like putting the grandpa on the spot. All right. I'd say we had a deal there, huh? Okay, another caller. Yeah. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Matt LaRoche.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I'm just wondering if I was going to do the whole river, could I drop off some of my gear halfway down, like my food or things like that, and then pick it up on my way back?
Yes, you could. That's most people that do that usually. They call that a resupply. And some of the outfits that do like a long trip or something, they'll have it flown in for them. That sounds expensive, and it is. Or have an outfitter. I mean, you're going to end up engaging an outfitter probably anyway to move your vehicle, or bring you into like from Churchill to the town of Allagash or Chamberlain. So you probably could arrange for that one of those outfitters because they're coming and going to the waterway almost every day during the summer to drop you off some food at a certain location. Might be better than just leaving it somewhere, and then because then you know someone's got to be responsible for that, and we're going to say, gee whiz, we don't really want to be, you know, because stuff happens, and sometimes you think you're going to be at a certain location, but you end up searching for somebody or working on a project that you didn't plan on. So I'd ask an outfitter to do that. Excuse me, I covered you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a big old bear might grab it.
That's true.
That's very true. Yeah. Okay. That answer your question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Good evening. Do we have another caller?
No, we don't.
All right. This is probably appropriate time before we get talking about Loch Dam. Bob Lehman is itching to do a commercial spot here for General Appliance and Brewer, one of our regular sponsors and the place to go for all of your appliance needs. Right, Bob?
It certainly is. And the General Appliance and Brewer is the place to go for your camp appliance needs too, Paul, as you are well aware.
Yes, I am.
And they have gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Okay, I'm waiting for that. Thank you, Mr. Bates. General Appliance is located in Brewer in a your non-electric connection. A family-owned business, and the boss is Al Elkin. I'll throw in this. Al likes to collect radios, old radios, by the way. It's a good time to say that before I forget it. And in these changing entity times, General Appliance is there to serve camp owners with non-electric needs. Right, Paul?
That is absolutely true.
They also have the well-known Sorvel gas ranges, and as for the compost toilets, these are the wave of the future in a conservation-minded world. And the compost toilets, I must say, there's no running water, no plumbing, no septic, no leach fields to bother with, no environmental problems, and advanced technology. And you can't beat that, can you? And that, I think they sell a lot of those over there.
They do. General Appliance in Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs. Everybody here patronizes the shop, and we encourage you to do the same.
And they sell our books over there. We mustn't forget that.
Yes, sir, they do.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back with Matt LaRoche. And Matt, the Lock Dam is, as you explained to me, is located about a two-thirds of the way up Chamberlain Lake. And at one time, it was a natural outlet. Maybe you could tell our listeners how that works, would you?
Yes, there's a lot of history at Lock Dam. And in 1841, they built a dam at the natural outlet of Chamberlain Lake, raised the level of the water, and built a second dam at Telos Dam, to force the water down the east branch of the Penobscot so that they could deliver their pine logs to the to the sawmills of Bangor at the time that Bangor was with lumber capital of the world, if you will.
All right.
So that's the history of that. It has been rebuilt several times. In this, we took the dam over from East Branch Improvement Company, which is the primary owner of that was Bangor Hydro at the time. They gave Telos Dam and Telos Lock Dam. Well, actually, Lock Dam we purchased through the foundation. But anyway, there's a lot of history there, and that did change the flow of the water from flowing north down the Allegash to flowing south down the east branch of the Penobscot.
From Chamberlain Lake.
From Chamberlain and Telos.
Yep. They changed the water flow at different times?
Yes, we do. We the primary water from Lock Dam is there for just right now. It's set for canoeing. It's like 66 cubic feet per second.
And that's good for canoeing.
And that's just it's enough
but
water.
It'll stay there for a while with all this rain and everything?
It'll stay right there because our primary water control is through Telos. So if the water, if we need to release water, we do it through Telos.
Do you take care of that, do you, Matt?
Yes, we do. Yep.
That's great.
Yeah. And you're working on some kind of improvements on
Year was a big project for us. There had been a 3-foot diameter culvert that was in there, put in 1963, and it was in pretty poor condition, and it took us like 2 years to get this project going, but last year was the year, and we put the money together, and we put a really nice-looking dam in there. It's a precast concrete with wood facing, and it's got the outflow of it has got a timber crib outflow, so it looks like one of the old dams, but in fact, it's a fairly new structure.
All right. And also, there was some mention of the fact that there's a stream near there, that there's a spawning area, and that's been improved. Martin Stream, I think you mentioned?
Yeah. Martin Stream is the outlet stream from the dam, and that with that 3-foot diameter culvert in there, that stream hadn't got a good flushing for 50-some years, 60 years. And so we met with the biologists from Fish and Wildlife, and they wanted to flush that stream out, and they also wanted to cover the eggs during the winter better than they had been, any fish eggs, any spawning activity that were in there. So anyways, we flushed that this spring, and one of the biologists there, Jeremiah Wood, went up and looked at it this spring, and he was pretty pleased with what he found in the upper part of the stream, that it had been really cleaned up, and there was a lot of cobble, deeper pools, and we're actually running a little bit more water there than previously. It's actually benefiting the fishing pretty significantly. So
I think we have another caller who may have a question for you, Matt. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Matt LaRoche.
Yes, sir. Not so much a question as just a comment on the quality of the folks that he's got working for him up there. My third trip to the Allegash, putting in an umstaskis and went down to Round Pond and picked up with a couple of friends, me and Mike. My canoe mate picked up a couple of friends our night at Round Pond. This was mid-May 3 years ago. We got snowed on the next morning. We got snowed on all the way down to Michoud Farm. So when we checked in at Michoud Farm, the ranger there and a young lady who was doing her first day working as a ranger in the Allegash, they took us into the cabin there, put the coffee to us, warmed us up, and they let us know, this weather isn't going to change any in the next couple of days, because we were planning on spending 2 days at Allegash Falls before we went down to the village and put out. So we took his advice and stopped there, but he let us stay there, warmed up, wound the coffee to us, and we were quite grateful.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's Ranger Trevor O'Leary, and that was his assistant, which would have been at that time would have been Lily. And he's certainly a real good ranger. He's year round up there, and there's a bunch of seasonal staff, but we have a few year rounders, and Trevor is one of them.
Oh, he was a wonderful gentleman that took good care of us,
All right.
We got a hold of our outfitter and pulled him out there, and it was great to have that kind of advice.
All right.
Glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate the testimonial. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Not a problem.
Have a good night. Evening. Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have another caller standing by. Good evening, caller. You're on Main Outdoors with Matt LaRoche.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My dad took us on the Allagash about 20 years ago. I was 16 or 17 years old at the time, and I was just wondering, there were a lot of spots when we went. I don't remember what time of year it was, but there were a lot of spots where we'd be going on the river, and it was, you know, maybe 6 inches of water, and we had to get out and kind of drag the canoe along. And so I was just wondering if there was a few best times of the year to go, where the water's a little bit higher, maybe.
Well, this is shaping up to be a really good water year for us, because we got the dam at Churchill is plumb full right now. So we're going to release that over the course of the summer. And if we get any kind of normal rainfall, this is going to be a really good year for water. And it hasn't been, I'll be honest with you, the last couple of years in late August and September, we haven't had much water, and it's been pretty darn low. But it goes from year to year. If there's a website, which I don't have it right on me, that you can go check the water levels, it's USGS website. And about 1,000 cubic feet per second is ideal, and then anything over 500 is pretty good. But when you start getting below 500 cubic feet per second, that's when you're going to have to start dragging over sandbars and things.
Really funny. We had, we had a bunch of canoes, and we had my youngest brother in the canoe with us. And so we'd tell him when we got onto the, onto the sandbars and stuff, we'd, tell him he had to start humping along. And so he'd be in the canoe just, going back and forth, and we got a pretty good kick out of it. But it wasn't the most fun for us, having to get out and drag it. Right.
I got a little story to tell you so you don't feel so bad. My first trip down through there, we were stuck on a sandbar, and the ranger went up by on the other side of the river wide open with his canoe and motor. So we said, well, we're on the wrong side of the river.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
All right. Well, thanks a lot. You guys have a nice night.
Thanks for calling.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Any other callers stacked up there?
No, that's it. We had one lady call in, though. She wants to do like a 3-day long weekend on the river. And to do that, where would you recommend starting?
Well, probably you could start at this Umzaskus place and you could take out at Mitchell Farm rather than go all the way to the village. So that would be like a couple nights to put it at Umzaskus and go down, stay and take out at Mitchell Farm rather than go do the carry around Allagash Falls and go all the way to the village.
That way, Norm and I would miss the Twin Brook Rapids.
You would.
I like that.
Falls and
get off
the
Mitchell
right
Farm.
Up.
I've been to Mitchell Farm.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
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 And that's where that really friendly ranger is.
All right. Very good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. One thing I want to, before we run out of time here, I want to mention, I follow, safety things with the Fish and Wildlife Department. I don't recall ever reading about people getting in much trouble on the Allagash Waterway, which is kind of surprising when you think of other things that happen in the woods in the state of Maine by people who just don't know what they're doing, or they just don't make good decisions. But you had a couple of fellows nearly drown on Umzaskus Lake in June. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, but occasionally it does. I mean, we're talking about canoes, it's not a boat. So some, they're susceptible to rough water. But there was two brothers. One of the brothers spent over 3 hours in the water, and the water was 52 degrees. He was really lucky to survive. There was a scout troop camped near the ranger station. They heard cries for help.
Yeah.
And the scout troop was 345 from Kingston, New Hampshire, and they heard the cries for help. They went and rescued the guy and brought him to the campsite, started warming him up, and he says, my brother is still out there. And his brother, they spent 2 more hours searching. They went and got my ranger, Steve Day, and they went out, and he organized a search, and they eventually found the guy almost at 10 o'clock at night.
Still in the water?
Still in the water.
Yes, sir.
Brought him to the ranger station, started to get him warmed up, made the call out to get an ambulance in there, and the guy did did survive it. I guess when he didn't want to leave, he got warmed up a little bit at the ranger station, and he didn't want to leave, and the EMTs put a heart monitor on him and said, "Well, your heart's defibrillating right now. You need to go out of here." He went to the hospital, but
turned out okay.
It did turn out okay, but thank you to those that scout troop
and
Ranger Day. They did a really good job and made all the right, you know, they made good decisions, you know, and they got that guy. Got the guy out of the water.
That's remarkable to be able to survive that kind of cold. Wow. Okay, I think we have another caller standing by, don't we? Oh, he's shaking his head. I thought you had your
phone. Well, we had a caller, but he was more just making a comment for me.
Yeah, okay. Any other information you'd like to impart for listeners who are interested in the Allegash Waterway? Is there a website they can go to?
Yes, I mentioned it once, but it's at maine.gov.
Maine.gov.
And then /Allegash. And it'll take you right to the shortcut page, our conditions and alert page. And there's a video series on there. It's really good. If you want, anybody that's thinking about doing the trip should watch the video series. And then if they still have questions, they can call me. I mean, I'm in my office in Greenville, you know, a few days a week this time of year. But I'll return their call. And so I think that's a really good place to start. And if you do want to come, you know, sometimes it's best to just go to one campsite, you know. If you've never been canoe camping before, you ought to go try it on some local lake or something. Load the canoe with all the gear that you might think you want to bring and go out and see if your canoe holds it all. And you know, you're going to probably weed out your stuff a little bit before you take a 90 mile.
So Norm and I ought to go to Herman Pond with the
Go stay overnight on a nice dry night, you know what I mean? No rain or anything.
Yeah. It's pretty flat water there.
Yeah. You know, I love the outdoors, and I've spent a lot of time in the outdoors, like Bob has and Norm has and all of us and Scotty has. But, you know, I spent 5 days with Diane on the West Branch, I was telling you, and the black flies, Matt, were as brutal.
And there's no black flies in the Allegash.
Well,
they were. Are you?
Churchill Dam is worse than any place on earth.
Goodness, I mean, I can't run out of superlatives to describe the awfulness of those black flies. I mean, I looked like I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I was cut and bleeding all over.
Mm.
You've had a whole life in the woods. Have you seen them any worse?
They're pretty bad this year. But they are starting to go by. The mosquitoes and the moose flies and the deer flies and all those things.
Well, you can buy these no-fly zone shirts, you know, Paul, really help out.
Yep. Well, unless I could put it over my head.
Well, they have hats.
Well, I had
no-fly zone hats.
I had a buff thing on, what do you call those, and I had a cigar and a
Woodsman's,
pipe. And,
Woodsman's and
oh,
fly dope.
Nothing could stop those things. They were awful.
It's pretty rugged.
So you haven't seen it any worse, have you?
Well, maybe I've seen it worse, but it's a pretty bad year.
It's a pretty bad year.
You know, what I tell people is, you know, some of those campsites have a nice breeze, and you can tell looking on a map, you know, kind of like that campsite's on a peninsula. It's going to get a little breeze, build a little smoky fire, you know, those sort of things, and it will help quite a bit.
Okay, we have a short amount of time left, but I had to ask you, this is a digression. I know you love to fish, and I know you fish a lot, and I know you really know where the places are, and I know you won't tell us, but Martin Stream, have you ever wetted a line in Martin Stream?
I have, and there's plenty of fish in there. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, see? I told you, Bob.
How big are they?
Well, some of them will go probably 16 or 17-inch brook trout, but there's some trout in there right now.
There's a decent little stream to fish?
Yes, it's easy to fish.
How far a walk is it to get to it?
Well, it's not easy to get to. That's why there's fish there.
Oh, okay.
So the easiest way to get there would be take a boat, bring it to Chamberlain Bridge, and then boat up the lake and walk down the stream from there.
Walk down the stream.
Or put in at Eagle Lake at Indian Stream and go up. So it's not easy to get to. You can't drive to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's why it's good fishing.
That's why it is good fishing.
Right. Okay. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, as it always is, to have you with us. We appreciate you coming down. We wish you a safe and bug-free summer up there in the Allegash Waterway. And I hope the black flies subside for you guys up there. Do you have any final thoughts or questions?
No, it's been a pleasure listening to this gentleman. I mean, he's full of information for the Allegash.
All right. Thank you for coming, Matt. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Our guest next week is going to be trail camera expert Bud Utek, who writes for the Journal. We'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.